When Kentucky came into play, Arkansas, Mr. Tyson would go to dinner with Coach Calipari, and that's been going on for probably more years than I was even at Arkansas. I mean, I was really close too with Mr. Tyson. We actually lived in the Blessings neighborhood, and so yeah, I think it's great for Coach Cal. I think it's great for the University of Arkansas as well.
Yo, yo, what's cracking? Welcome to the Jim Rome Podcast, and welcome to episode 309, where this week I'm joined by a dude that I've known since I was 23 years old. He also happens to be in the middle of one of the most hectic, most backwards college basketball coaching carousels ever. So it seemed like the perfect time to catch up with the new head basketball coach of the USC Trojans, Eric Musselman. Now, my man, he needs no introduction, especially not if you're a regular listener to the jungle, but here's an intro anyway. He's fresh off a 5-year stint at Arkansas, where he took the Razorbacks to back-to-back Elite Eights. Before that, he coached at Nevada. Before that, he coached the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings in the association. This dude is a flat-out basketball genius and a basketball lifer. He is one of the biggest grinders in the entire sports world, and he is about to make his return to the original side hustle. So let's get right at it. It's episode 309 with USC men's basketball coach Eric Musselman, and it's coming at you right now. Well, safe to say, Mus, it is a homecoming of sorts, at least in the sense that you're returning to the state of California, in so much as you played your college ball at the University of San Diego, and you coach both Golden State and Sacramento. So first things first, Eric, welcome home. How does it feel? How are you doing?
First of all, Jim, thanks so much for having me on. We're, as a family, super excited. This is the third time being in Los Angeles. My first job was with the Clippers. Selling tickets as an account executive, and then second stint was coaching the Lakers G League team, the LA Defenders, and now really looking forward to being a part of the Trojan family and coaching here at USC.
Hey, Mus, listen, I mean, in terms of doing what you do, there's always going to be a bit of selling. I actually was in actual selling. Like, I tried to sell radio time. I tried to sell dictation equipment. I tried to sell phone systems. Got my ass kicked. I'm curious, when you got out of college and you were selling tickets for the Clippers, what do you remember about that experience? What was that like?
I got my butt kicked, too, Jim. I knew that I did not want to, be account executive and somehow, work my way to actually moving over to Elgin Baylor's side of more the evaluation. But I did sell tickets for about 3 months, and it was not easy. Much respect to all salesmen.
So you get it. You and I are coming from the exact same place. Why do you think we work so hard at what we do? Because that other gig was so hard. I understand that. You understand that. So, Eric, you've been in the business your entire life, not just as a coach and a player, but also as the son of a coach, as your father, Bill Musselman, also coached in the NBA and in college. You know this life really, really well. You've coached on every single level in every single place in the world. You've been knocked down. You've gotten back up. In other words, you know this life. So let me ask you this. What does this next opportunity feel like? Does it feel like the next opportunity, or does it feel like something different because you're coaching USC and strangely coaching USC in the Big Ten of all conferences?
No, I mean, I don't know how to describe it. One, super excited about, again, being a part of USC. The challenge of going to a new conference, 5 years in the SEC, had a blast coaching at Arkansas. But the challenge of not only taking over, a basketball program in LA, but then also the challenge of going into a completely new conference. Not only is it new for me and our staff, but it's going to be new for everybody on campus and in all the sports. So huge challenges ahead, but challenges are what drive all of us. And USC playing in the Big Ten is going to be challenges, different playing style that we're all going to have to adjust to. So for me, an awesome time to be a part of change that's going on throughout college athletics.
So much. There's so much change going on in college athletics that we could talk about in a minute. But this notion of you being at USC, I mean, you know how this is. You know the area. As you mentioned, it's your third time in Los Angeles. You spent a lot of time in San Diego. You understand how competitive that market is. You know, you've got the Lakers, you've got the Dodgers, you've got UCLA, there's USC, and there's a million different things. If things don't go well in sports, you know the fans will head to the beach, they'll head to the mountains. You understand this as well as anyone. Are you really focused on what you can control in your basketball program, or how do you try to compete with all these other entertainment elements in that town?
Well, I think one, you know, obviously when you're in a market like Los Angeles, winning, you know, is going to drive attendance. I mean, I think that that's just, you know, because of all the options that you just said, Jim. And so if you understand that, you know, that's part of it. And you know, how can you try to get, you know, be a part of the community, both on campus and just the entire area, becomes really important too. I think, you know, like my wife and I want to not only be a part of the USC campus, but also be a part of the entire Los Angeles area. And so that's going to be a big part of our job as well. But we all know that winning drives attendance, especially when you're competing against so many different options.
You know, you mentioned your wife. You guys, obviously, you guys have done so well in working your way into the community. You did in Fayetteville. You did in Reno. I know you will in Los Angeles as well. I know also how much you respect her opinion and her business acumen. What was her take? What did she think about this opportunity?
It took a lot of times. I think back, Jim, to the decisions that we've had to make as a family, meaning my two sons and my daughter and my wife. This one, the conversation did not last very long. We thought that it was right time, perfect place, institution wise, great place. The brand of USC, we thought, you know, that was like extremely important. You know, not just the brand regionally, but more importantly, or just as importantly, the brand nationally, the academic reputation, all those things, super, super important. Getting a degree from USC, you know, can last student athletes, you know, it can help them the rest of their lives. And so I think all those factors, it was not a long dinner table conversation, JR. It was pretty quick that everybody thought this was a great opportunity.
All right, so it checks a lot of boxes, Mus. One thing we didn't mention was the administration, the USC administration. You've got to be connected and on the same page. I'm curious. Obviously, you were on the same page with your athletic director, and USC has run through a few now, but what was your first impression of USC AD Jennifer Cohen? And then when she asked you, Eric, what your vision was for USC hoops, what did you tell her?
Well, yes, I think anytime, you know, whether you're a professional coach and you're talking about ownership and GM, or, you know, collegiately, it's you know, the president, and obviously had a chance prior to getting the job to talk to Dr. Folt. And then Jen Cohen, our athletic director, her vision, the more we talked, the more excited I became about this opportunity. She wants it to be a partnership with all of her coaches on campus. And, you know, when we talked about the vision, we talked about, you know, trying to win at a high level, trying to do it with student athletes that take academics seriously. So I think from a vision standpoint, much of the things that we've done, you know, in the two prior stops are, you know, how do you make an NCAA tournament? How do you advance in the tournament? Those things are things that we hope, you know, to make happen and to go on deep runs in the NCAA tournament. And right now with the transfer portal, I mean, we're right in the middle of what happens over the next 30 days is going to really determine a lot on what happens in November, because obviously, you know, player-driven is important right now. Like, you got to have great talent on the floor, and then obviously go through the summer and October, and into the beginning of November to build your team on the floor. But you got to have talent, and right now is the time to try to recruit as good of players as we can that would fit in.
You got to do that, right? You got to recruit the players to fit your system, and then you've got to re-recruit the guys that you have there already. I thought it was a really good sign, Eric, that Isaiah Collier was at your introductory presser. Where's his head at? I mean, he could enter the NBA draft. Where's he at mentally, and where does that stand?
I'll tell you, Jim, I was super impressed, number one, that Isaiah came to the press conference. I certainly didn't need to. I mean, if you look at all the projected mock drafts, anywhere from probably, 8, 9 to 15. So he's in a really, really good spot right now on the mock drafts. And then I had some individual meetings. We had some individual one-on-one meetings with some of the guys that played here last year. And then we also had some meetings with three guys at a time. And I didn't know it was going to happen, but Isaiah came into one of our three-man meetings, and then he was super vocal on areas that he thought were important for me to know as a new head coach. And, I think he just did both of those things, JR, just because I think he really cares about USC, because certainly, the NBA draft is where he needs to go based on where he's projected right now. And I think anytime a player can play his way into the lottery or late lottery or just outside of that, I think it's a really good business decision for a player to go. As much as I would love the opportunity to coach him, I think that NBA future is where it needs to be for Isaiah right now.
Well, I mean, for you to say that, and you would know, I think it says a lot about him that he did show up for that introductory presser and he still stayed around and he had a lot of comments and a lot of advice because he cares about the program. So, Eric, with the portal, obviously, as I mentioned, you re-recruit players. We know that LeBron's son, Bronny James, has entered the portal. He's declared for the NBA draft, but he has not signed with an agent yet, so technically he could return to USC. Have you had a chance to speak with Bronny yet?
No, we texted, and he's been on campus going to class, which is awesome. And, hopefully we'll get a chance to sit down and talk here in the next couple of days. That's the plan. But I think with all players, you especially with coaching changes, you have opportunities to explore other things. And so certainly that's the landscape that we're in right now. But certainly the hope is that we can sit down and talk, and I can kind of lay out a vision and as a player, the players can talk about what they want, not only for the upcoming year, but maybe just as importantly is what they want for their future career to look like as well.
All right, so you mentioned it briefly, Mus, but if you sit down with Bronny and you lay out that vision, how's that going to sound? What would you tell him about the vision and what you want to do there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think that, all the guys and Bronny in particular, I mean, they want to play at the next level. And then you've got to kind of lay out an individual plan on, one, how a player can help the current situation, meaning USC win games next year over the 30-game season, the 20-game in-conference, Big Ten games. And then also what the player development plan would look like over the course of the 8 weeks in the summer. And then what it looks like in October or September and October, the 2 months that you're back for regular school and from a player development standpoint, and then what the season looks like and what the role could potentially look like. The biggest issue right now is we do not have a full roster. So it becomes a little bit difficult to truthfully lay out what the vision is from a playing time standpoint for all of our guys. And it's not just our program. There's a lot of programs around the country right now that with all the guys going into the portal, you really don't know what your true roster management will look like until you finalize your 13 scholarships.
So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, But Cheetify offers so much more. Cheetify goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. Cheetify's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. Cheetify shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, Cheetify shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. Cheetify is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit Cheetify.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at Cheetify.com. GDEFY.com. Use the code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. Cheetify shoes. They are incredible. So, Mus, to that point, it's a great point. Like, you can't tell exactly what it's going to be like because you don't know what it's going to be like until you have a full roster. I'm curious what you thought about Dan Hurley's coaching and what his teams have done the last couple of years, because here's a guy, I love the guy personally, but here's a guy who's totally unapologetic. He's going to get up in your grill, and he's telling his guys, look, we're not going to kiss your ass. We're going to tell you exactly how it's going to be, what the expectations are, and how that's going to benefit. But in short, like you, he is an old-school guy that will still coach guys hard and not tell them exactly what they want to hear for fear that they might leave. What do you think about his approach and his teams and what you saw?
I still have nightmares playing them last year. That's who eliminated us. And the way he gets his teams to play hard, execute, move the ball, and accept roles, there's nobody better right now in college basketball. To have the 2 years that UConn has had, incredible. And, you know, he does a great job of getting role players to excel in his system. And I can tell you, from an execution standpoint, setting screens, moving to accept screens, pace of play, defense, getting the loose balls, all the toughness things, there's no team in the country better than UConn. And look, they basically dominated the NCAA tournament the last 2 years. I mean, they're playing games that aren't even close. And then once that second half hits, the physical condition that UConn is in, that Coach Hurley has put these guys in, it's incredible. Because the second half, the longer that game goes, I was laughing the other day and told somebody, if the game went 48 minutes instead of 40, like an NBA game, the margin of victory with Coach Hurley's teams would be even greater than what we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, the motion's incredible, right? They never stop. They never stop. And they wear people down. And I totally agree with you. Like, Mus, you and I go so far back that I've often said you and I go back as far as anybody that I go back with in this business. And I say that in the sense that I no longer even really communicate, much less interview anybody still on our programs and podcasts from that era other than you. And the reason I say that is to say, I know you a little bit. And I know you guys love Fayetteville. And I know you were killing it there. You had two Elite Eight appearances. You had a Sweet 16 appearance. So I'm curious, Eric, like, how did we end up here? Why are you and I even having this conversation when you were doing as well as you were there and you loved it as much as you did there? What happened?
Well, yeah, we loved Fayetteville. I mean, it was 5 great years. You know, in life, really, Jim, I mean, it's just opportunities come at certain times. Like Mariah, our daughter, is going to be entering high school. So, you know, we did not want to uproot Mariah at any point. And loved working for Hunter Yurecek, our athletic director. Sold out, you know, 3 straight years, 20,000. We were sold out in September the last 3 years, 2 months before we even played a game. The crowds, you know, incredible, not just for basketball, at the University of Arkansas. The baseball team sells out. Coach Dave Van Horn's got the number one baseball team in the country. You know, football draws. But it was just a, you know, for us, you know, two Elite Eights, three Sweet 16s in the 5 years. We just felt like, hey, we accomplished a lot. And this was an opportunity to bring me what we consider home. And so here we are. And, you know, it's, there's a lot of things, Jim, that, you know, my mom, she never came to a game in Fayetteville. The first day I was on a job at USC, my mom drove up from San Diego and was at the press conference. So a lot of things personally, professionally that align. And then you add in the fact that the conversations with our athletic director, Jen Cohen, went the way they went. And for us, perfect fit, perfect time.
Are you craving some protein after a good workout? Of course. This time, though, don't make a shake or eat a bar. Grab a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper. Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty and tender. It's made with real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a wood fire, and it goes wherever you go. To the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? As you mentioned, Jen Cohen again. So let me ask you this. One thing you told her was, we are not going to zone anybody. We're not playing zone defense. Why did you feel that strongly about that, about not playing zone defense?
I mean, we haven't played any zone in 9 years of coaching college. And you know, one of the things that we do like to talk to our players about is we're going to try to mirror the NBA style of play as much as we possibly can based on our personnel, of course. But, you know, and then when I was in the NBA, there was a term, illegal defense, meaning if you zoned up and you weren't within, you know, 2 feet of a player, and if you were off the ball defensively, you had to tag a cutter, which meant cleansing to restart the defensive count in illegal defense. And obviously now that the game has changed where you're able to play zone in the NBA, and there's been some you know, organizations that have gone zone at crucial times in NBA games. Coach Spolster's done a great job mixing up zone, but we just been a team that plays man defense and offensively try to play an opportunity break or our offensive flow game. So we don't want to change that. Obviously, we have to alter some scheme-wise based on the personnel. But we want to continue to try to teach man-to-man principles as much as we can from a defensive standpoint.
Amos, a few more things. You just mentioned the respect, and you praised Hunter Yurecek. I'm not saying that one thing's got anything to do with the other, but when that video posted on social media of you driving the Must Bus and him looking up and saying, "You still here?" Man, it just seemed weird and it seemed odd. And then you were gone. I'm not saying one thing had anything to do with the other, but did that video strike you as weird and odd? Because it struck me as weird and odd.
Well, I think just because, you know, there had been so much, you know, conversation or chatter, whatever word you want to use, about some of the other jobs that had opened, you know, that he felt, hey, you know, coach is still here. We talked about it after the fact. You know, I don't think that he meant anything other than just the fact that, you know, hey, there's been chatter, but, you know, coach is still our coach. And, you know, the coaching rumor stuff that happens right around NCAA tournament time is, you know, there's obviously some truth to what gets talked about. And then there's a whole nother, you know, platform that's really not what's going on. But look, it's all indications are that Coach Calipari's going to Fayetteville, and that's, you know, that shows you what a great job the University of Arkansas is, and we're totally appreciative of our 5 years, and we're super excited and feel really, really fortunate to be at USC. When you grow up in San Diego, you know, Southern Cal, you know, USC. See, Trojan brand is, I don't know, it's about as powerful as there is.
You must mention Cal. I mean, the coaching carousel, man, is just, it's wild. To your point, you know, there's a lot of smoke, and then some of it's real, and a lot of it's not. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it's just so crazy, right? That SMU was the first domino. Andy Enfield leaves. You come to USC. And now Cal literally is going to go to Arkansas. What's your reaction to that? And what kind of a fit? Do you think that's a good fit for him and for them?
I do. I mean, one, it's great fit for Arkansas. I mean, the national publicity that Coach Calipari will generate. You know, I don't know how you can put a figure on the value to the university that he'll create. So I think it's great. And then, you know, there's relationships. I know that, you know, when Kentucky came into play, Arkansas, you know, Mr. Tyson, John Tyson would go to dinner with Coach Calipari. And that's been going on for probably, you know, more years than I was even at Arkansas. And so that makes Coach Cal's walking into a situation where he's really close and has a great friendship, you know, with a big booster. And I mean, I was really close too with Mr. Tyson. We actually lived in the Blessings neighborhood, which is, you know, a neighborhood that the Blessings golf course is kind of his deal. And so, yeah, I think it's great for Coach Cal. I think it's great for the University of Arkansas as well.
It must, you know, when I look at you, I know you. You and I are good friends. You, when I look at the way, the success you've had, I attribute it to a number of things. I think, one, you're really, really smart. Number two, I think you love the game. Number three, I think you've got incredible discipline. I think you've got a great, great work ethic. I think you have a tremendous process. And then, like any successful person would tell you, you are consistent as hell. Like, you show up every single day and do those things that you need to do to be successful. And it's always been that way. So, having said all that, let me ask you this, because you've always gone at it and attacked every single day the same way. I believe that. You're coming off your only losing season at Arkansas, and you were 16-17. You're going to attack every single challenge your whole life the same way, all in, all out. That said, will you be even more driven to show that last year was just an outlier? In other words, do you have another gear?
Oh, yeah, I got yes. You know, my wife and daughter, they came to the press conference, which was this, you know, towards the end of this week. And then we, on Friday, and then we looked at places in Manhattan Beach on Saturday, and then they left on Sunday. And I told her, I'll see you in 2 months. As soon as we have a roster put together, we'll get back as a family. But right now, we got a lot of work to do in this portal. I'm super, super motivated. And then I also know what I don't know. Like, I need to start watching Big Ten games. You know, I knew that the SEC inside and out, I knew what was coming with certain coaches after timeouts. I knew what was coming late game. You know, I can go through, and he's got an incredible late game package. Buzz Williams' late game package is as good as anybody. But, you know, when you compete against people, there's familiarity with what could possibly be coming. I have no idea in the Big Ten, and I got a lot of work to do to try to catch up on some of the stuff. Some of these guys have been competing against each other for quite some time, and so I got a lot of work to catch up on that aspect. But right now, the number one priority is trying to work this transfer portal and try to find guys, really, Jim, that want to play you know, team basketball, that want to compete, that want to play really, really hard. Like most of our teams in the past have done. So not only are we recruiting, looking at the talent level, but also character and what's important to these recruits as well, to make sure it's the right fit.
Hey, listen, I've got to tell you guys about this. So the other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around, a product that I now carry around. It's something different for fresh breath. It's this amazing product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is an absolute game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. If it's not, they won't hear what you're selling or saying anyway. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't. Because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. Clinically tested against the toughest offenders like garlic and onions even. You just pop two or three in your mouth, You suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. This product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth, and then it goes down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. It's that strong. You're going to love having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath or your money back. That's right, or your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you'll want it, but they will. They have free shipping if you order three packs or more. And trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping, right? So go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com right now. Do it now and you'll get 15% off when you use my promo code ROME. That's Zelmins.com. But you have to use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, to get your 15% savings. Do it. Do it right now. All right, so two quick things, Mus. You mentioned the Big Ten. I mentioned your father, Bill, also was a head coach, and he coached in that conference, and he used to come on the program before he passed, so I'm glad that we always had that. He coached in Minnesota in the 70s. Obviously, it's a very different thing right now. You had a great line, I thought. Like, you just said to me, I have to learn that conference. I have to learn the other coaches, the other players, everything about that conference. I thought you had a great line at your intro presser for USC when you said, when I look down the sideline at legends like Tom Izzo, it won't affect me. Why will it not affect you? What did you say at that presser?
Yeah, I just, you know, as questions come and the challenge of the Big Ten, I mean, I think that, you know, at a young age, or what I now consider a young age, look, when I was coaching Golden State Warriors and Hubie Brown was at the, you know, on the other sideline, I remember telling our staff before the game, hey, we got to have like a 7 to 8 point lead under the 2 minute mark, because I know what Hubie Brown, I know what his late game stuff is. We're not winning. We're not out coaching Hubie Brown. And I told our staff that, like, whatever we do, we got to make sure we're fresh, that our star players are ready to roll the last 2 minutes. Cause the guy down the other sidelines, he's going to pick me apart if it's close. And so all the experience of coaching against Hubie Brown or Pat Riley or Phil Jackson, I'm not going to look down at a college sideline and be intimidated by who's calling timeouts on the other sideline, because, you know, in my opinion, you know, the greatest coaches in the world are NBA coaches. And I've had the opportunity to coach against Coach Popovich and some of those other guys. So, you know, there's not going to be fear. Although I do know there's great coaches in the Big Ten, and I also know in the Big Ten there's really difficult venues to play in. And like I mentioned, Jim, I have not coached against those guys. So from a scheme standpoint, got a lot of work to do, a lot of catch up to try to figure out what their tendencies might be on both sides of the ball and then late game situations as well.
I know you must. You'll be ready. One last thought. You and I are the same age, and over the last few years, we've seen, I mean, you've always been in great, great shape. You've gone with your signature shirtless celebrations over the big wins over the years. You told me years and years and years ago that you always work out 2 hours a day, every single day. I'm curious, now at this point in your life, what is your daily regimen in terms of getting to the gym? What is your personal approach to nutrition now? Update me on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the nutrition stuff, the older you get, the more important, you know, it becomes. So try to eat as good as possible, although, it, you know, it's hard if you like carne asada burritos and you're back in Southern California. It becomes more challenging. But, yeah, still on the treadmill, you know, and trying to lift weights every day. You know, the great thing about being in L.A. is, I'm going to try to work to get off the treadmill. There's a little 2 mile area right here on campus. So look forward to walking the campus much more than being on a treadmill and hopefully, you know, stay in as good a physical condition as you possibly can, because I know you do the same thing, Jim.
I try, Mus. That's why I asked you. I'm trying to keep up with you. You know, it's amazing. Since you and I have known each other since we were 23, I have found you in every part of this country. Every town, everywhere you went, you've always been so great. So I'm just going to say, Mus, it is great to have you home. Welcome home. It's great to have the fam back here in California. Can't wait to see you and the family. And it's really good to have you back, Eric. Thanks so much. And I know we'll do it again soon.
Sounds great, Jim. Thanks so much for having me on again.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Always love a good catch-up with my guy E. Mus, and obviously we had a whole lot to get caught up on because he has had an insane couple of months. In fact, he's had an insane couple of years. Let's face it, dude has had a pretty insane career, and it's only about to get crazier because he's got a lot of work to do in getting the Trojans roster filled out and ready for their debut season in the Big Ten. But believe me, if there's somebody I would buy stock in, it's Eric Musselman. He'll get it done. He always does. And this is why, given what he's got on his plate, this is why I appreciate him stretching out and making the side hustle even better than it already was. You see, you just will not hear that conversation that we just had anywhere else. And that's the whole reason why I started this pod and why I'm still pumping out eps every single week. It's worth it for conversations like the one that I just had. And believe it or not, they're almost all worth it because they're almost all like that, which is why every single one holds up. And if you want to be the first to know when a new episode does drop, take a second right now, hit subscribe. You will not regret it. That way, every single ep will find you and you don't have to go looking for that ep. Thank you very much for doing so. And I will see you next week right here for episode 310 on the Jim Rome Podcast. Peace.